हरिः ॐ सहनावावतु सहनभुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Start from the bottom of 29. Vijay, Gurudev, please tell us more about Shuddhanam and his symptoms. Raghunathas Babaji. When Harinam is chanted with a favorable attitude, devoid of mundane hankering, and the desire for jnana and karma, and thus only for the purpose of Shuddha Bhakti, then Shuddhanam is being uttered. The desire to invoke the Achintya Shakti of Shuddhanam and experience supreme transcendental bliss is not a mundane and motivated desire, but a pure desire within the realm of Shuddha Bhakti, right? In other words, we're giving up material hankering when we chant, but if we're hankering for a taste for the holy name, you know, that's not a problem, right? That's not mundane. It's not, oh, it's for ourselves or this or that, or, you know, like tasting prasad and it tastes nice, oh, that's for ourselves. No, the things that are, that happiness that comes from the devotional service, that's not a problem. Because the point is we're happy when Krishna's happy. So you do devotional service, Krishna's happy, naturally will be happy. Right? Besides the spiritual desire to attain pure transcendental love, all other desires concerning the results of chanting, such as the absolution of papa and the attainment of mukti, are anyabhilasha. Right? Anya means... Here is that trying to purify yourself of sins and attain freedom from material entanglement. Those things are, that's what we call, it means, that's jnana, right? That's the desire for mukti. Because the point is if we become free from sin, then what? Why do we want to become free from sin? Because we feel we're, you know, bad, we're sinful. So it's not about that Krishna feels bad or... You understand, it's about us feeling bad. Or that because we're sinful, we're getting reactions, so then it's still about us. Or if we're freed from material entanglement, then what? You understand? So chanting with that desire is not the point. That comes automatically. You know? It just comes along with it. Like we say, if you someone invites you over for lunch, you don't have to ask them, will I get a plate to eat off of? You know, can we sit? You know, will there be, you know, you don't have to worry about that. That comes along with it. So bhakti along with it automatically comes, you know, freedom from material, you know, how you say, sin and being liberated from material entanglement. Those are just two side things that just come. So you don't have to worry about them. Right, so they're extraneous desires for things unrelated to pure bhakti, because pure bhakti is about the devotion to Krishna. That doesn't mean that one doesn't worry about performing the activities. Right? Does that make sense? We don't worry about performing and to free ourselves of sin. Right? Just like it says, if you clap in front of the deities, then, you know, it's like all the, like crows. If you clap, the crows get scared and fly away. So the sinful activities are considered like crows. So by clapping your hands, all the crows of sinful activities fly away. But we're not in front of the deities clapping our hands thinking about crows. Right? What it means is the kirtan's going on, you're clapping your hands with the kirtan. So that automatically happens. So that's the point. You don't have to worry about the sin going away. You have to worry about being focused on Krishna. Right? The sin will go away on its own. Right? It's automatically included. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. As long as anyabhilasha remains within the heart, Shuddha Nam does not manifest. The sadhaka lacks Shuddha Nam as long as he craves for the external rewards gained from the practice of karma, jnana, and astanga yoga. Right? If you want the rewards from that, it's not that you're performing the activities of. Because as we mentioned, karma, jnana, and yoga are all part of the bhakti process. But the results of karma, the knowledge of jnana, and the meditation of yoga is all on Krishna. Right? So when you remove the karma, jnana, and jnana from Krishna's devotional service, then it's called separately as karma, jnana, and jnana. Otherwise, it's called the activities of devotional service, sambandha jnana, and meditation on Krishna. Does that make sense? Yeah. The heart must be cleansed of these detrimental non-devotional motives, and devotional qualities favorable to the achievement of Shuddha Nam must be cultivated. The feelings towards devotees, nice behavior, proper etiquette, right? But it's not just to be nice. It's because that's how the devotees are special, right? Just like, let's say, someone might say, well, the devotees aren't so nice, but the karmis, they're so nice. But why are the karmis nice? Are they nice because you're a devotee?
No, they want a result.
Yeah, they want a result. They're nice because they know if they're nice to you, they'll get something back. You know, either they know who you are, so they're nice, or they don't know who you are, so they're nice because just in case you're somebody who they should be nice to. Right? That's what the smart person does. Right? No?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because if you're nasty with everybody and then find out he's a big guy, then you got a problem. Hey, we start off on the wrong foot here. You know, can we start over again here? You know, it's kind of like, you know, so then you don't have to use all those kinds of things. Be nice in the first place. Right? So they're only doing it for the material benefit. But what we're talking about is devotees are nice because they understand who devotees are. They understand who the souls are. They understand who the creation belongs to. Right? That's why they're nice. You understand? That's why we say the karmis don't actually have any good qualities. They're manifesting qualities, but those are just by the modes of nature. Those are qualities of the universal form. Those aren't devotional qualities. Right? Yeah. Then Shuddha Nam is revealed, which may be defined as Hari Nam, free from Nama Bas and Nama Aparad. Right, so Nama Bas means it's mixed. So we say mixed devotional service, that means Nama Bas. Mm-hmm. Right? It means Vaishnava Praya, it means almost like a Vaishnava. Mm-hmm. It means the form is there, that, but the mood's not quite. Right? It means one's a devotee because one's doing all the devotional activities, mm-hmm. and one's intent is pure devotional service to Krishna. Right? But it's not quite there because sometimes we're in that mood and sometimes we're not. So that's why it said almost Vaishnava. But almost and Vaishnava is considered, because otherwise we consider the Madhyama Vaishnava because of the pure devotional service, but still he's not on the platform of prema. So we're calling that Vaishnava, right? You understand? So it's one accepts the supreme, the form of the Lord is eternal, and wants to worship the Lord with devotion. That's the devotee, right? Yeah. So therefore, Nama Bas means there's nothing mixed. Right, it's on the pure stage. So Nama Aparad automatically means when something's mixed and it gets too weird, then it becomes Nama Aparad. Right? Vijaya, Master, what are the inherent differences between Nama Bhas and Nama Aparad? Raghunath Das. If a person does not chant Shuddha Nam, he chants Nama Bhas. Under certain conditions, Nama Bas remains in that category. But under other conditions, Nama Bas enters the realm of Nama Aparad. When chanting is contaminated by pramada, ignorance, and brahma, illusion, or by a lack of attention or comprehension, we speak of namabhas, chanting. Right? So ignorance, illusion, inattention, and non-comprehension. That's namabhas. Okay? In the case where chanting is polluted by mayavad sophism, the desire for moksha or boga, then we speak of namaparad. If the 10 previously mentioned namaparads are committed unknowingly without guile, such chanting is namabhas. Okay? That's important. In other words, without any other motives than that, namaparad may be there, but you know you don't really know it's namaparad. You know? Because sometimes either you haven't learned about them or you haven't thought about it in that way. You know, you've thought about it in one way, so you're trying to be careful, but in another way, you're not. Is that so?
Perhaps
yes.
The 60% rule applies. So you have like 60% namaparad, and
yeah, but basically here it's saying that the namabhas turns into namaparad. So whenever there is, you know, the conscious element of it, or it's very, very, you know, it means you don't, it's not lacking this, means there is bad intent or something like that.
Okay.
Then that time it's namaparad, like that. But if that's missing, then it's just namabhas, right? So that's why it's considered immature, because unknowingly offenses are being committed, you know, one's inattentive, one lacks comprehension, there's illusion, there's ignorance. You know, these things are there, but, you know, one's sincerely trying to please Krishna. So, therefore, it's namabhas, right? Does that make sense? But if one's, you know, a mayavadi or really, you know, focused on material desire and everything like that, then it can be namaparad, or committing the offenses, you know, and being more, you know, being more intense. It is relevant to know that as long as namabhas is not stained by the symptoms of namaparad, then the hope is very strong that one day such chanting will become shudanam. However, as soon as namaparad enters into namabhas chanting, the possibility of shudanam dwindles, right? Because namaparad is taking you away, right? Because it means if you've gained something, it can be lost. Right? Specifically if it's offense to Vaishnavas. If it's others, then it'll slow the process down. You know, so that therefore the possibility of gaining Shudanam dwindles, not that the possibility has gone away, just it's not moving anywhere. You know, if you're on the highway, you're in your car, you know, you're on the right highway, but there's no petrol, you're not getting anywhere, but you haven't lost anything. Right? You know? But if the tow truck comes and picks up your car and drags it off, then you're losing something. Right?
That's the namaparad.
That would be the namaparad, meaning the Vaishnav ninda, sadhu ninda. The other ones are just going to stop everything. Mm-hmm. The sadhu ninda will actually destroy it. That's why one has to be.
Sinful activity.
Just stop it. Doesn't matter how sinful. You know? I mean, see, it's because sin is sin. You know? Does that make sense? You know, does it really matter that he snorted one line of cocaine or he snorted two? You know what I'm saying? It's just sinful. You know, but we like to make the gradations. You know, well, he snorted half and then the phone rang. So, you know, he didn't actually snort the other half. So it's not actually that bad. You know, but the point is, it's the intent is one is involved in sinful activities. So whether it's more or less, just by the modes, you know, that's all. Sometimes modes is more, sometimes they're less. So that's not there. So sinful activities will stop but won't remove. They'll never destroy. Because that's the point is, the sinful is just you trying to enjoy like that. If you're being offensive to Vaishnavas, offensive to Krishna like that, you know, with that intent, that will destroy. But anything else won't, no matter how sinful it is, how big it is. Because one Shudhanam can destroy more sin than the whole universe can.
Wouldn't be offensive just because not that you're trying to destroy it, just the way you are.
It depends. If it's unknowing and without guile, it's still namabhas. But if it's knowingly or with guile, then it's aparad. But it depends which aparat. There's 10. So the first one, that will destroy things, that the last 9 won't. You know, the whole thing is just you offend, because Krishna, rasa is all about Krishna and the Vaishnavas.
Yeah,
so that's why it's worse.
Sometimes you just, you know, somebody's your friend, you grew up with him as a devotee, you know. So you say something about him. It's not nice. Is that, you know, just like, that guy's a jerk, you know. I know what he's like. He does all these stupid things.
Yeah, it has effect. You know, because the point is lack of culture doesn't mean that it's normal. You know, because we grew up with them. But you see, the Pandavas also grew up with each other, and they're quite nice with each other. You know, like that. So this the Western idea is that one, you know, can make comments about everybody, and that's just normal. It's not actually normal. Means if subhumans, yes, you know, like that. But you know, it's kind of a weird tribe, because I'm sure you know, if you go to, you know, the pygmies and other guys, they don't sit around making snide comments about each other, you know. Like that, might get a blow dart to your head. So they're a little more careful, you know. You know,
it can be difficult to figure out for a subhuman when it's aparat. Are we debating a topic, or am I making aparat towards this?
See, person? The thing is if you're making the point that you're once openly saying something, but you're trying to say it nice.
Mm.
You know, but it may come out nice or not nice because of emotions.
Mm.
But it's a dialogue, that's one thing. But just to make comments is, you know, what's the benefit? What will the comment do? How will it benefit? Of course, we have an idea, all our comments are supposed to be saving the world, right?
Of course.
How come they didn't figure out? I said, you know, it's kind of like, yeah.
I've always said.
Yeah, it's like, these are, just because they're common doesn't mean it's good. You know what I'm saying? It's just like this. All dogs pee on anything vertical. So is that cultured?
No.
No. But amongst dogs, it's normal. It doesn't mean it's cultured.
As a rule of thumb, can we say that talking about people who are not present or involved in the discussion is generally something to be aware of?
Yeah, this is the general scenario. You have 3 guys,
yeah,
right? They're together.
Okay.
As soon as one steps out to the bathroom, the other 2 badmouth him, right? As soon as he comes back, they stop. Then the next one goes out of the room. And then the other 2 that were there, the one that was badmouthed before, then they talk badly about the one that left. And then the third one, he's like, yeah. That's just lack of culture. The
third one's afraid to leave because now he's been too
close. He's already heard what's
He knows what's going to go.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
But it's just... That's why the terminology is given, malechas and yavanas, but it's subhuman. They're a kind of subhuman. Like nishadas are one kind. This, that, they're all different kinds. They all have different natures.
Mm.
You know, so that the malechas, they like to speak bad about each other. It's just what they do.
Mm.
Sorry, there's so many crows in the west.
I'm not sure I get the connection.
Yeah, the crows, they're always... Is that not the breath of the... You're talking garbage all the time?
I'm not sure. I don't think Mana specifically mentions about crows. Because crows, see, also within the animals, crows, the tick-tickies, iguanas, cats... These animals that are part of Nimitta, means what, omens, you tell omens by them, they're in their own category. If you kill them, there's a reaction different from, you know, just something else. You know what I'm saying? Of the same kind of standard. You know what I'm saying? It's like if you kill the cat or kill the ferret, then, you know, the ferret's not connected with the omens, but a cat is, so that's worse. Does that make sense? I know. So it's...
Alright, so when a new person comes and starts changing, is that nambas?
Yes. Yeah. Because as soon as there's faith in the form, eternal form of Krishna, right, then that's nambas. like that. Otherwise, if one still has these Mayavad concepts and this, then it's Pratibimba Namabhas. It's not actually real. It's the other's Chaya. Like that. And those means, because Namabhas here means they're devotees, so it's directly devotional service. Those who aren't devotees and haven't surrendered, then it's also Namabhas, but they're not getting bhakti from it, they're getting bhakti sukriti. So when that sukriti grows, then it will turn into Shraddha. Right, and then that'll be this Namabhas. So in other words, the name goes all the way through, just like we're saying bhava, is that mood all the way through, that element of attraction.
What if they don't hear the name from the proper source? I mean, the mantra is out there.
Then it's just sound. On one level.
What if they hear it from the wrong source, but that wrong source heard it from us? Does that happen?
Oh, there, if it's like, the devotees are going down the street and there's a bunch of, how you say?
Card-carrying Mayavadis?
No, but I'm just thinking, what's a nice way to say a group of, not very well-trained, unmarried men.
Rowdy guys.
Yes, okay, that's nice. A bunch of rowdy guys, and one of them, hey, Hare Krishna, and the other goes, hey, Hare Krishna, like that. Then they're getting the benefit of chanting Hare Krishna because they're getting it from the right source.
So what about all the people in the yoga studios who are chanting?
That's where they got it from. You know what I'm saying? Just because it looks like white powder doesn't mean that it's talc. So it depends where you got it from.
Okay, so one of these guys that does the kirtan, he lived in Vrindavan. So he used to go down Loi Bazaar into the temples, and that's where he got it. But that's his guru, but he has a different guru. We didn't give him that.
So yeah, but now who he's connected with, that's what it'll be giving. So it'll give that kind of shraddha, that kind of faith. So the point is even if it is Namabhas, but the point is it's Namabhas, is there the concept of pure devotional service? Is the point of chanting pure devotional service, or is it just peace and niceness and all that kind of thing? See, the difference is when you're dealing with karma, you'll only get the benefit of karma. When you're dealing in devotional service, though it may be connected with karma, you're still getting your devotional benefit. Right, that's the difference. So, let's say we go to the yoga studio. Now they're chanting with the idea of peace and self improvement in that way, but it's the pure name. So they don't understand that actually they're being purified and getting bhakti sukriti. Or the other one, they're chanting the name, but they're approaching the name just for material benefit. So they'll get that benefit. If they're Mayavadis, then less. Like that. Because there's the element of, is there faith in the name, in what they're giving? That's what I was saying. Just because it looks like it's the same, doesn't mean it's, we're cooking potatoes, it's vegetarian and offering to Krishna's prasad. And the guy down at the little stall in the corner, he's also cooking potatoes. But he's not offering to Krishna. So if we just say, we have potatoes, so therefore it's all prasad, we have to be careful. There should be some discrimination.
So isn't it ultimately based on the conception of the chanter, of what the holy name is and what the goal of chanting is?
There is that, but there's also where the name is from, because the Shuddha Nam, even if you don't have the right conception, you still are getting benefit as long as you're not, opposed. Like we go down the street doing Hari Nam, everybody who hears it gets bhakti sukriti, because it's obvious what it is. But because it's something spiritual and stuff like that. But if you go into the yoga studio dressed as a karmi, present yourself as a karmi, and everything like that, though it's the pure name, then there'll be that element of the bhakti sukriti, but the weeds of material desire will be very strong alongside it. So in other words, instead of the weeds coming later, it's just like, you know, I said, it's weeds now, you know. No, it's a science. It's just straightforward. You put more salt. There's more. It's salty. You put more sugar. It's more sweet. It's just whatever is there. You know, that's the difficulty. Is that when it comes to spiritual things, we like to be, you know, make it all kind of simple and easy and you know, don't worry about it. A bit sentimental. But when it gets down to, you know, like sinful activities, oh, then we're very exacting. You know, material life, we're very exacting. So when it comes to karma, not even gyan, we're not even exacting in gyan. But when it comes to karma, we're very exacting. When it comes to spiritual, all it doesn't matter, it's all one kind of thing. So the idea is that if it's all one, then we all one means the guy said, oh, we're all chanting, it's all nice. So he did some sinful activity, oh, that's unfortunate. Well, you know, but get him chanting, let's move on. You know, that's okay. But you can't have the one as, oh, well, they're all nice and everybody, you know, but this devotee did this, he's a nonsense. That doesn't work, you know. The guy sitting there in the yoga studio, I mean, what nonsense hasn't he done? You know, like that. You know, he's committed to his nonsense. And because he's so fried by his nonsense, that's why he's at the yoga studio, you know, like that. Well, the devotee is trying to be a devotee and he makes a mistake, you know. So, just like that. Thunderbolt with the devotees, rose with the yogis, you know. It's not quite balanced. It's not. You know, in other words, there should be a science in applying it. Otherwise, it's not logical. Because the Westerners always comment on, you know, consider themselves very logical and scientific and that. Then that's fine. Then that's the whole point, is that the science is there. One can engage that. But it shouldn't be engaged speculatively. It should be engaged, you know, properly. It is relevant to know that as long as Namabhasa is not stained by the symptoms of Namaparada, then the hope is very strong that one day such chanting will become Shuddhanam. However, as soon as Namaparada enters into Namabhasa chanting, the possibility of Shuddhanam dwindles. The only remedy then is to follow strictly the process of purification from the offenses against Harinam that I have given previously. Vijay, what is the process to elevate Namabhasa chanting to the level of Shuddhanam chanting? Raghunathas Babaji, devotee must associate with Shuddha Bhaktas. If he stays in their association and cultivates Nam under their guidance, then after a certain time he will become purified and acquire a taste for Shuddhanam. Right? So we're not doing it to become purified, we're doing it to get a taste. But by following the purificatory process, the process of purification, then that's how we're going to gain that. Does that make sense? Right? Just like when you do puja, the point is to go on the altar, do the puja, not to take a bath. Right? But you take a bath, then you go on the altar. Right? So that's the whole point. In chanting, it's a purificatory process, but its point is not to get pure, it's to be able to chant Shuddhanam. Does that make sense? Yes.
So we don't follow Prayaschita as such. We just avoid the offenses and associate with devotees, that's it.
Yeah, that's the only thing that works. Prayaschita doesn't work. It just doesn't. But for the materialist, he really feels, I've done this work, I get my result. So he's really sincerely committed to that science of karma, of action and reaction. So he feels that if something bad is done, you have to do something material to correct it. So all it is a lack of understanding and a lack of faith that actually there is no good in this world in that way. Even you make him good, it's just a matter of time before he goes bad anyway. And anyone who gets too bad, they get too disturbed, they have to become good just to maintain sanity. You know, so it's not real. So the prayaschitta doesn't do anything. All it does is make the materialist feel good. That's all. That's what we were discussing the other day. We say, no, but everybody's upset. Let everybody get off their material platform. let them become spiritual. You know, this is a spiritual movement. We've come here for spiritual. If they were all about justice, then, you know, why were they there sticking flowers inside the gun barrels? You know, then it was all about love and this and that. Now it's all about justice. You know, so put on a suit, head down to Wall Street. You know, get out of our face. You know, stop claiming you know the philosophy. You know what I'm saying? Prayaschitta does nothing. All it does is make the materialist feel good. That's all it's for. There is no other point to it. But because everybody's committed to it because of karma. I do good work, I get good. I do bad work, I get bad. So therefore there's that sense that, oh, if I do bad work, I'll get punished. And that's the only reason they don't do it. Otherwise, if they wouldn't get punished, everyone would do anything they wanted. But the point is it's a matter of Krishna consciousness. That's the only thing that'll purify. Not that punishment's not there, but punishment is there for the society. But the point is then you have to set the point that you want to set. If you want to set the point is, anybody who takes a leadership position, their life is now not their own, and if they do anything wrong, we'll roast them to the ground. Then you know, so any volunteers, step up. That's the message. That's not. Means we see Lord Brahma's running after his daughter, right? His own daughter. Right? So then, you know, at that time there was no one else, so it couldn't have been someone else's daughter, right? So it had to be his own daughter, right? So then his sons then come up to him and say, you know, respected sir, you know, this is not cool. You know, like that. They don't go, this is a nonsense, who are you, running after your daughter, you know, you can't be Brahma anymore, we're getting someone else, you know, like that. You know, there's four of us, we'll stand back to back, we'll have four heads, you know, hey, get it, beat it, you know, like that. You know? And they don't do that, because the point is the position is there, that position itself has to have respect, it carries power. Whether you believe it or not, it doesn't matter. That's the best part about the philosophy. It really doesn't count about what somebody's mundane thoughts are. It really just doesn't matter. But because of the Greek philosophy of Vox Populi, everyone thinks, I got an opinion, it matters. It really doesn't. You know? The point is, if it's not in line with Krishna consciousness, it doesn't mean zip. It just doesn't mean anything. But people are so proud that I have an opinion, I must be heard. So what? You know, before when you had to actually get up in a crowd and speak, they get butterflies or they can't say it right and that. But now that you can sit down at a computer and say whatever you want, you know, and push, you know, send, then hey, it's easy. Everybody, you know, voices their opinion. But if they had to actually come into an assembly of Vaishnavas and speak, most of the talk would just go away. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, you haven't been stand by it. And, you know, and it's always anonymous. Oh, we have this and that, we said this and that. Oh, okay, well, so who said, what's that? No, we can't say. It's like, if you're not willing to come forward, you know, then don't say anything. You know, where's the relationship? It's all about pure justice. It's nothing to do with people. So that's the difficulty. Justice is not people to people. It's not justice at all. It's just making you feel good. I value this, so therefore, he did that, you know. But then if, you know, something else happens, their kids out in the back smoking dope, well, you know, they're teenagers, they got to work it out themselves, and this and that, and, you know, it's all this kind of nonsense, you know. So it's like, you know, where's the consistency? If it's they work it out, everybody works it out. And if you're strict with them, be strict with the kid. But no, it's just picking, that's why it's said, Pramada, ignorance, and Brahma, illusion. That's all. That's so. Therefore, these things, that's what keeps one in Nama Bhas. It's just, there's no consistency, there's no real knowledge, there's no applied to the particular situation. Does that work?
Or? Yes.
Yeah? Okay. Yeah.
Regarding Prayaschitta, what about confession? Does confession have a place in Vaishnavism?
Yes. To people who are qualified to hear it. And it's not because you feel you are that you're qualified. Someone who can keep confidentiality, someone who has the power to actually give you advice, how you can correct that, and to support you in following that advice, can be would be a qualified person to confess to. Anyone else, it's actually sinful that they think that they are someone who could be confessed to. It's actually nonsense. It's just prajalpa and Vaishnava aparam. It's that simple. It's right in mind. So it's not just a joke that, oh no, but everybody has the right. Nobody has the right. Mm. Who has the right? You know? So then let's take this to the thing. Grihasthas are leaders of brahmacharis. They're considered superior. So we want all the grihasthas to stand up and tell all the nice stuff that they did with their wife. And we want details. You know, we want to know how far, how much, how this, how that. You know, did you wash the sheets afterwards? You know, we want to know all that. And if it's not up to the standard and that, you're out. So if we're not going to, then why only a few people? You know, it's not consistent. Therefore, it's not human. So just because a lot of people like to think in a non-human way doesn't make it right. It's all right for tribals amongst themselves. But then admit that's what's going on. Right? In the fifth canto, the Kinaras and Kimpurushas don't have a problem saying, we're animals, we're forest people. We talk rough, we talk gross, we live out here, but we still have faith in the Lord, and He's so kind, He accepts our worship. But no, we're sophisticated, we're this, that. You can't say we're Malechas, you can't say we're this, we're not this body, at the same time as, you know, we're totally into the body and everything connected with it. You can't have your cake and eat it. They want everything. That's cheating. Nothing, you get everything. Everything's balanced. If there's hot, there's cold. But they want everything. We want it to always be pleasant and nice, you know, like in Malaysia, but when we want, you know, then there'll be snow. It's not going to happen. You know, it's going to go between 26 and 28 degrees, and that's it. You know, or, you know, it's going to be cold. You know, the reindeers are running around, you get snow and you get a summer. You know, it's just, it's cheating. It's total illusion thinking that, no, I can have everything I want. That's just material consciousness. But, like you said, it's being committed unknowingly. But the problem is the attitude. Because the common devotee does that anyway, but it's without guile, so it's namabhas. But as soon as they're committed, and this is an identity, we're sophisticated, we're this, we're that, it's kind of like, hey, the rest of the world's been at this a lot longer, you know, 200 years, and, you know, European history goes back a few thousand, you know, and you go to outside Europe, they go back even more thousands, you know. Was it, you know, the guys in South America, you know, they came and saw all those big, what was that, big, you know, I can never say it, but that, on top of the mountain, some Pichu thing.
Machu Picchu.
Machu Picchu. Machu, is that where it came from? Machu.
Machu to go up.
Huh? Machu means to go up.
You have to be macho to go up.
You have to go be macho to go up. Okay, yeah. Okay. So then that, and they came along and said, wow, you know, your goes back so many thousands of years. So you guys made this. No, these guys were thousands of years before us. You know, so, I mean, you have cultures that are there, but somehow or another, 200 years old, and it's like they know everything. You know, it doesn't work. And then that culture, which is a melting pot, of the lowest common denominator, that just enough to make business work. Actually, that's the only thing that functions is business. Family life doesn't, social life, none of those. The only ones that do kind of do there are the business people in the public forum. You know? And then that's supposed to be the culture for the rest of the world, when the rest of the world is talking about actual relationships and interaction and family and community. And somehow or another, they got the, you know, no, but that's not practical. It's not practical for people that don't even know what relationships are. And then they're going to tell the rest of the world how to behave. It doesn't work. And just because they feel like it, doesn't matter. Because the point is, yes, they'll get the job and business. But they don't have the job when it comes to family and community. Otherwise, why is it they don't have any? Right? Do we have it? Look at it. Are there any pure Western communities?
Kibbutz?
They're Jewish. They're not Americans. Because Americans come there, but they become Jewish. Right? You have to take up the Sephardi culture. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing, is that it's not there. You might get a few little group. They'll be there for a short time. You know, until one of them sells the place out and the rest of them go back to work on Wall Street. You know, so that's the problem. It just doesn't... They don't have it. They don't know how to balance it. If they do live together and all this, there's no economics. If there's economics, they can't live together. Right? Chinese, they got economics and they live together. Right? The Indians can do that. Right? So, they're taking over. So it's just a matter of, you know, wait 50, 100 years and we won't have to listen to all this. Anyway. You know, because there won't be any.
There's a joke in the Middle East. I think it's a bumper sticker. Be nice to America, otherwise they might force democracy on you.
Yeah, that'll work. Yeah. So the point is that the basis of what they want is not bad, but the whole attitude about it—that's—it's not. There's names for it, you know. These kind of self, you know. I don't remember the words, but there's, you know, in the, you know, editorials they always use these terms. But the it's not that the basis that they don't want that what they want, the goals that they're looking for in the way of the principles, are good. And they're solid, and that they're committed to something that's very good. That's why they're successful. But the point is if the others were as committed, there'd be no question that these persons would have any real standing. The only thing is that the others aren't as committed because they've been, you know, told for the last hundreds and hundreds of years that they're, you know, they're trash. You know. Like that. So that's the only way. It means we're talking, oh, everybody's nice, everybody's equal, but the reason that they're on the top is because they've been telling everybody else they're less than human for, you know, whenever they bumped into them. You know what I'm saying? So it's not, the basis of the culture is not strong. You know, the basis is not strong. So it's, it becomes sad because then the problem is all these different things come out. And then one, you know, moves back and forth from Namabas to Namaparad. So one has to be careful. So that's why specifically that dealing with Vaishnavas is in its own category. The others aren't good, but they're generally a philosophical understanding or just some weakness of heart. Right? So then, means that illusion, illusion or ignorance, right? So, but when it actually becomes pointed that one takes one's mundane culture and tries to use that as the template within the Vaishnava culture, is how you create the standards, it won't work. There is no satisfaction. You know, all it does is break down the authority structure, the personal dealings, everything like that. Because push comes to shove, the ones that talk this the most, do they actually have any friends? It means real friends. And I guarantee if you look at it, they don't. That's the problem. But the people they're complaining about, many times they do have friends. So it's not fair for someone who's functioning on a subhuman culture to use their template on someone who is human or closer to human. with that. It's not appropriate.
Can you speak a little bit about the point you made about the position? Like you were giving the example of Brahma and the position. This is a hard point for Westerners. Okay, you've got
because they have authority issues. That's the real point. If we admit that much of the time in the West there's authority issues, if we actually admit the reason that you're pushing this so much is you have personally authority issues, but at the same time are very happy to be one, right? Because then you can protect yourself from authorities. Then if that's understood, then you can do something about it. But until that's noticed, how can you do anything? The point is the position, they're representing the Lord. You know, a GBC, it means if they're in a public position, that's because they represent the Lord, then you should respect them. No, it's they're in a public position, therefore I can do anything I want. I can ask anything I want. I can know everything I want. It's not that I'm qualified. What's your qualification? Just because I'm public? So if you're public, then follow what the authorities say. And if you are an authority, then you should understand the principle of authority, that the position is given by Krishna. It's his potency. Krishna is the potency of the temple president or the GBC or, you know, the Sankirtan leader or whatever it is. Krishna is not the individual. The individual thinks I'm the president. That's the problem. No, it's Krishna's potency. Therefore, the post has to be respected. Now, the individual... Now, that's not a matter of how they fit and what's correct for them at the time. So the post has to be respected. Their devotees, that has to be respected. Then, but because the purpose of the post is to engage them in cultivating pure devotional service. And the goal of being a devotee is pure devotional service. So if something goes wrong that's mundane, that means it's not pure devotional service. So how to actually make any adjustments necessary to ensure pure devotional service? That's what you're looking at. But if it's just a matter of justice and retribution, you've actually missed the whole point. I mean, whole point, totally. There's not even a scrap of position you're taking that has any value in Krishna consciousness. No, but what about the people? It says that's because you don't preach to the people. Otherwise, you would have them in control. They would know the standards. They would understand these things happen. You work as if it never should happen, and if it does, then it's, you know, it's like immaculate conception. You know what I'm saying? It's not like that. This idea that if it's, you know, it's either completely squeaky clean or it's dirty. That kind of thing. That's for kids. You know, you teach a three-year-old something in a situation. Then, in the next situation, he does exactly that. You have to tell him, no, in this situation, you would adjust that principle. He doesn't know. So if all there is one thing and then nothing else can be accommodated, that's a three-year-old. That's a three-year-old. Maybe in business, he's a 50-year-old. When it comes to money, when it comes to accounts, or... You know, getting manipulating the material energy as far as management goes, but when it comes to actually dealing with people, you got a three-year-old here. That's all the more maturity he has. Or you might have something a little bit older, but due to bad qualities, then he has bad feelings towards people. So not only do you got, okay, maybe you got an 8-year-old, you know, but you have a you know, socially dysfunctional 8-year-old. So if these things aren't recognized, then you can't deal with it. And as soon as they recognize it, then that community, then it's all about themselves. Oh, I'm so this, I'm so that. Everybody should understand. You know, what about just doing something? Why has it always got to be about the self, or this one's that, or that one's great, and this one's nonsense, and oh, about me, and, you know, the victim. It's just, why can't they just be normal? You know, that's the difficulty. But that's why it's so different talking to Europeans. You talk to Europeans, they think about the whole thing. Okay, be a devotee, so this, that, what about the family, what about the kids, the education, the money, the house, where we're living. They look at the whole thing. That's why they're much slower, but it's very solid. You know? The other one is just jump right in, which is their good quality. But then at the same time, they can jump right out. You know? So it's and you know, and whatever position they take, because they're doing it, that's what's right. When Krishna Bhajanamrita, then Narahari Sarkar mentions that's the neophyte mentality. Because he's my guru, that's why he's great. This is me. I'm great, so he's my guru, so he's got to be great.
You know? And I picked the greatest guru.
Yeah, and I picked the greatest guru because I'm the greatest, you know. Of course, after him, of course, because, you know, we're humble, we're devotees. You know, so that's the problem. It's just the neophyte element. But it's understood that's going to be there. That's what neophyte means. But at the same time, as one has to step up. One has to come to the platform of pure devotional service. Neophyte as ordinary is not right. Madhyama as ordinary, that's correct. That's why it says the neophyte is actually almost a devotee, not quite. So we're going to drop the standards of Shuddha Bhakta because people are almost a devotee? You know what I'm saying? The karmi doesn't like that I wear a dhoti down the street. He won't like it, whatever I wear down the street. It's never the right thing. You know, if I went, you know, hit Rodeo Drive, spend a few $1,000, then they might notice. But after 6 months, I got to put that stuff away. So you name me the devotee that's walking down the street in something that the karmis like. Knock me out. I know one. But that's it. I don't know anybody else. You know what I'm saying? So all this stuff is just a smokescreen for material attachment and desire. That's all. But at the same time, is their commitment to Prabhupada, their commitment to the mission, their commitment to these things is very good and strong. So that's why it goes on. But these other things, they're just not devotional. That's all. Just upfront, not devotional. It's not spiritual. It's not philosophical. You know, it's not even righteous. You know, self-righteous, yes, but righteous, no. You know, it's why is it if one person does it, then the whole thing blows up, another one does it, and they, well, you know, people make mistakes. You know, so there'd be a consistency. Did that get anywhere? Or did we get so far off track that?
Well, like somebody who's like a police officer, if he commits a crime, it's considered more, you know, there's more of a reaction because he's been entrusted to attack.
Yeah. But the thing is can you know something about his personal life? Can the common man just demand to know about his personal life, the police? Or does the government protect him? What if he's doing something on behalf of the government, but the people don't like it? Though it's according to the law. Who protects him? The government. But if the government now, just the wind's blowing that way and changes is leaving him on his own, that's not governance. That's cowards. So if you want to take the example, let's take it the whole way, not just take the extreme. We always find the extreme. But the point is what's the principle? He has the support. The government will take care of him. He'll get a pension. Right? If he gets shot, the government will take care of him. So are we doing that? So if we're not doing that, we have to find another example. Right? If you're dealing with governance, because these are part of the government, they represent the government. And if you say something to them, you're in trouble. But the thing is now you can write on email whatever you want about anybody. That wouldn't be allowed. If you wrote like that about a police officer, they come and haul you off to jail. You know what I'm saying? So it's not balanced. You can't use those as examples. Of course, that principle is there. But not in the social context that is being that we're applying it. You know what I'm saying? It does have validity. Because the government should always see that its officers are there. But then there's a standard by which it judges it. You have to judge it on an eternal principle, not something that changes. Otherwise, it's like, 20 years ago what you did was fine, but now and today it's, you can't do that. So now they'll judge you 20 years ago and it was okay. Even they thought it was okay, but now they'll judge you by today's standards. You can't do that. It's not allowed. That's why you're supposed to use eternal standards, because 20 years ago they applied and today they apply. 20 years from now they'll still apply. You know, justice is a very, very serious thing. The point is if you give an unjust punishment, then it will destroy you, your family, and anybody connected to you. Friends, relatives, if you have a business, it'll destroy your business, anybody connected with the business. It's like a disease, it'll just destroy anything that's connected to you. That's what it does. So therefore, it's not just anybody who feels like it can step up and say, you know, I'm the adjudicator. You have to be qualified. Does this make sense? You have to be qualified.
How liable is a person who's put in a position but is not trained, and they do something really bad?
The point is if they're not trained, who put them in the position? Because the point is who put them in the position is also liable.
The people who are punishing him are the ones who put him in the position.
Yeah, so then where's their stake in it? Why didn't they train him? You know?
Because they couldn't. They didn't know.
So then why are they in the position to put people in the position?
Because they don't like the results of what he did. Oh, no, because the majority of people are complaining about him.
No, but why are they in the position to actually be dealing with him in the first place?
On the hierarchy, they're a step above him.
But why are they there in the hierarchy? If you don't take responsibility, you have no authority. They go together.
So they should punish themselves.
If they need to do punishment, then they should do that. But if it's a matter of, okay, working out what's the most Krishna conscious thing for the whole situation, then that will be done, and then it accommodates everything. That's the point. Devotional service accommodates it all, makes it all work nicely. But if they're going to get into the mundane punishment, then the point is then blame is where blame is due. The point is if he's your off, means if the general is there, and if, you know, his corporal or something does some nonsense, he gets some of the blame. You know, if it's too wild, he gets removed from the position. You know, if it's obvious that he was trained properly and then he just went off on the hook on his own, still it's not good, because why did he go off the hook? What was not in place that didn't keep him in place? So anything that actually functions, you're in a business, you know, in a hierarchy like that, you know, and you're in a position of authority, and if things under you don't go right, you lose your position or something is considered. So why is it on here? We'll deal materially, but, you know, spiritually, then we're aloof. I mean, you can't do that. Either deal spiritually and then all these things, or if you're going to deal materially, then take the responsibility. You can't have both. That's why I say children. I don't mean by skills and experience. I mean by social actual maturity. You know? On understanding the philosophy and how to apply it in the culture of Krishna consciousness.
Okay. Your authority issues go back to the reason you came here, or is it, have you developed it?
You do have the underlying authority issue, but you do find those that, you know, grew up and their parents were normal and, you know, they had a nice relationship and then everything was nice. So they don't have authority issues. You know? But those who have problems in those things, then you'll see they're the ones that go after these things the most. Right? Those who have authority issues from their own childhood, then they're the ones that have it as adults. Right? You know, so whether or, yeah. Okay. So then, but the point is just because it's misgiving for yourself doesn't mean that's a standard. You know. So that's why there is an eternal standard, that it doesn't matter what the condition nature is, there's a way to apply it to that situation. Because otherwise, you have to have those who are beyond conditioning tell how to deal with conditioning. Those who are conditioned don't know how to deal with conditioning. You know? Because otherwise, then, yeah, it means there'll be a justice system, be a social system, and everything like that. And, you know, things would go on, there'd be prosperity. But generally, it's known in, you know, literary circles as Lord of the Flies. You know. That's all. You know, it may sound stark, but how these things are dealt with are just as stark. But he did this. Yeah? So the point is what's the problem with that? Oh, it's nonsense. Why is it nonsense? Because the point is, it doesn't matter if this, like Prabhupada said, licit or illicit sex, they're the same thing. They're going to keep you in the material world. You know what I'm saying? But at least with licit, there's the possibility that you could connect it to Krishna. Illicit, generally, there isn't. That's why one's preferred over the other. But otherwise, both of them are going to keep you here. It doesn't matter what it is. The interesting thing to note when it comes to these immorality when it comes to sex life, I noticed that the celibates don't look at it as strongly as those who, you know, so-called have the license. The celibates are much more forgiving in this area. But those who have the license, that's my license. He can't be misusing. It's my thing. You know?
When you say authority issues, is somebody say, well, I don't trust.
That's the word. That's the right word. That's the key.
And is it because one is not accepting responsibility that whatever's happened to me is my own due karma?
That's part of it. Yeah, that can be. But you also have faith that the material energy can give good results. Because the point is you can't trust the material world. Because it doesn't have anything to offer the soul. You know? It just doesn't have anything to offer the soul. So the point is when there's these trust issues, but the point is because they haven't trusted, it doesn't mean trust is not there. Otherwise, why is it an issue? Because trust should be there, but it hasn't been. But then they should be looking for, how does trust work? Where is that principle of trust? How to work within that? It doesn't mean we don't discriminate. That's this one you can't trust, this one you can trust. Right? That kind of thing is, you have to make the discrimination. But the principle of trust is there. Otherwise, if it's not real, then why is it an issue for you? So then how to develop that trust? But it doesn't mean because you don't have the trust, then that means that gives you the right to be the center of everything. Right? Because the bottom line in all these things is if you have an issues, then that makes you the center. And then it has to be all about you. Everybody has to adjust to you. But that's how trust was lost, that people didn't adjust. So they didn't do it voluntarily, so now I demand. You know, just we don't call it trust anymore. These things aren't good. It's there. It's something real in the minds of those who have this. It has to be dealt with. It has to be addressed. But it can only be addressed, as we come back to his point, is that it can only be addressed on the spiritual platform. There are no material solutions. Bring in all the shrinks you want, all the philosophies you want, you'll never solve it. The same issues that the Romans were having, they're having today. Same ones. No different. Right? You know, we think we're in such a modernist change like that. As I mentioned before, what's his name? Caesar. His mother owned an apartment building. It was built as apartments, not houses, apartments. Her father built it for her, you know, so that she'd have a livelihood. And they were from all over the empire. Right? So that ethnic mixing, the things, the big city, apartments, all this, that's always been there. We make it look like, oh, it's a modern day thing that, you know, only we have this problem because of that, all these different, you know, mental problems come. Those have always been there. And they've always created the same problems. There is nothing new. Same old.
seems like you're saying lack of culture is synonymous with selfishness. But it seems like everything you're saying is, when we're finding discrepancies, it ultimately comes back to, well, I'm right, this is how I see it, everyone should see it my way. I'm not happy because you're not the way I want you to be.
Right, basically. Because the point is, that's why Shastra's there. Because otherwise each living entity will think, I'm the center. But no. God's the center, and everybody's connected to God, so everybody has a part to play in the universal form of the Lord. Right? So in the material pastime, everyone has their place. So therefore, if you want to be the arm of the Lord, then act like an arm. Don't, when you see the opportunity now, you want to be the mouth, or, you know, when you just want to relax, then you're the foot, you know. Hand, you can put it on the pillow, but no one gets it, but you put it up on the thing in front, stick your feet up there like that. No, that's the enjoying, right? It's not the arm, you know. And, you know, so whatever they see the opportunity, they can get some benefit, then they move around. But the point is how is that going to work, you know? You know, you're sitting there and the two people are on the stage and saying the lines, but then the other guy, he wants actually to say the main line. So he says all the main lines, those are the other guy's lines, right? And so then, you know, but, you know, I've been around longer, you know, I've been in the company longer, or I did this, that, or I memorized these when I was a kid. He has so many reasons why he should be saying it, but it's not his part. And then the audience is supposed to enjoy this? You know? So that's the problem, is that being opportunist, then whenever something else is there, you move, right? We have the authority of the leadership, but at the same time, we can hide behind the facelessness of the bureaucracy. So we have all the authority, but we have no obligation. That's dual. That's going from, you know, whatever leadership position they're taking down to Shudras. It's just whenever it's that, oh, we're just, you know, one of the people. Mm-hmm. I didn't vote for it.
Is the discussion at the moment, is it connected with one of the stages of chanting?
It's connected with nam aparad, meaning that one either offending Vaishnavas, it's not a big deal, or committing sinful activities, which is the end of the world.
Okay.
That's the distant connection.
Okay. I'm losing sight, but you've clarified. Thank you very
much. Okay. That's
super. What about when Clinton did his thing, some devotees were saying, well, he's a king, so what's the problem?
Yeah, and then if someone devotee who's, you know, in a big position does something, then he's history. The point is, you know, like I said, they can. How you say? What's the guys? You know, they can declare war, peace, you know, tax. Do all the different things, do all kinds of political, underhanded, undermined, secret. You got all these agencies, but just don't get intimate with the interns. That's all. But, you know, what's the big deal about the interns? You know what I'm saying? You do all this other stuff, you know, then what's, it doesn't make sense. But they pick that one thing, you know? And government after government, you see the leaders coming down for that one thing. Because then it's something that the other party can use to get you out. What they don't realize, it can get you out also. You know? So that's the problem with this, is because of their illusion and ignorance. They don't realize that the thing that works for them at this moment is also the thing that will undo them later. You understand? So that's why, if it's not based in devotional service, then all these things of management, politics, economics, justice have no meaning. There's an idea that management stands on its own as devotional service, though it's something to be engaged in devotional service. Right? That's it. I organize the kitchen, all the stuff is there, pots are there, you know, the gas is there, the knives are sharp. So therefore, because of that, Now, even if we don't cook, then first-class cooking. It means it is a bona fide service on its own. No cooking is going to happen in this kitchen, but the kitchen is well maintained. That's the concept. Management is only to organize that people are chanting Hare Krishna. And if it's not doing that, what's the purpose of it? Right? But because we are attached to these things, we get so much into it, we forget what its purpose is. That work?
Yeah, the more, I think, where this issue hits the pinnacle is the childhood, because that's such a...
That's there, but the point is that's another issue. But it's not an issue to use all the political background or anything of authority and power that you've always wanted to do and now use that as the spearhead. The point is it's dealt with how it should be dealt with, and the other things are dealt with how they should be dealt with. You know what I'm saying? But it's just used as an advantage, you know. Somebody blows something up, so now you can wiretap everybody's house just to make sure. You know, all it is just it's just a method of a medium of a trick for other things. Because the point is when these abuses were going on 20 years ago, everybody, every last one who's making a decision now, didn't really have any particular feelings towards kids that they thought it was something special or worth their while to putting attention to. Not one of them. Zero. So now they're the champions of the kids. It's nice that they've learned this stuff, but just as they're learning, everybody else is learning. So why is it they're the great guys and everybody else is the bad guys? That's all. It doesn't mean that the thing itself is good. It just means you have to consider the situations and what you're dealing with. If you can't do that, that's not intelligence. That makes sense?
You're dealing, it seems like the problem is you're dealing in a democratic situation, so the abused have knives in your back.
No, but the point is democracy has its position if it's based on the Vedic authority. If it's not based on the Vedic authority, what's the meaning of democracy? Why is it better? If everybody feels like it, but, you know, it's just like, where was that place? Somewhere in Central or South America, there was that commune, and then they all decided to drink cyanide.
In Guyana.
Yeah, so, you know, that's democracy. They all felt like it, you know? You know what I'm saying? The guys down there in their, you know, the little white little outfits like that and pointy hats, they all felt, as a community, they really needed to lynch this guy. So how do you define democracy? Just whoever's the biggest guy, because ones that didn't want them lynched are bigger, so therefore it's nonsense. You know, it's just like war crimes, you know. Whoever wins, it's not war crimes. If you lose, it's war crimes. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So it just doesn't work. Democracy only has a position in connection with Vedic authority. Just like monarchy only has a position in connection with Vedic authority. Brahminical standards only have authority, you know, when it's connected with the Vedas. And same with the Shudras. The point is, if it's not based on the Veda, and for us, if it's not based on trying to chant the pure name, you know, following in the footsteps of the previous Acharyas, it has no validity. Because who has the piety to follow, a higher grade social system? Who has it? So it's only by the grace of the holy name and the Vaishnavas that we are able to be chanting and doing these things in the first place. So therefore, it's not by their material qualifications. If it comes to material, what's their material qualification? You know what I'm saying? So that, therefore, you get into all these things of illusion, madness, you know, stuff like that. The guy, the day before he's married, doesn't really know what he's doing. The day after he's married, he's the world authority on marriage life. The people who didn't have kids, they don't really know much about. The day they have a kid, they're the world's authority on children. You know? It's madness. He was just one of the guys in the temple. Today he's the temple president. Now he knows everything and has an opinion about everything. The day before, all he worried about when was lunch. You know, so what's going on here? So we're dealing with a lot more that needs to be addressed by the philosophy than we're thinking. We're thinking, no, we'll just take care of it by material means. But where's the qualification? So that's why the only qualification is chanting Hare Krishna. And those things that will see to it that we're chanting nicely and go back to Godhead. There's nothing else. Jagai and Madai could go back to Godhead. Why can't anybody else? No one's done anything as bad as Jagai. Jagai and Madai, they would look at Manu, find a rule, and specifically go out to break it. You know what I'm saying? You know, if you know, raping women, that's bad, so we got to do that. But now it says here that if you rape a woman, you know, who's married and chaste and of a high grade, like a Brahmin, that's the worst. Oh, hey, we got to do that. That was their mentality. And simply by surrender to Lord Chaitanya and chanting, that's all gone. So where's the meaning of prayaschitta? What's the qualification other than chanting? It doesn't exist. Okay. Vijay, what is the process to elevate Nama Bas chanting to the level of Shuddha Nam chanting? Raghunath Das Babaji. Devotee must associate with Shuddha Bhaktas. If he stays in their association and cultivates Nama under their guidance, then after a certain time, he will become purified and acquire a taste for Shuddha Bhakti. At this stage, the Hari Nam appearing on his tongue will become Shuddha Nam. However, at the same time, he must shun the company of Namaparadhis. Otherwise, the birth of Shuddha Nam will be prevented. Satsanga is the only cause for the prime benediction of the jiva. Right? That's why one has to deal nicely with devotees. Therefore, our beloved Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Srila Sanatana Goswami that Satsanga was the seed and root of Shuddha Bhakti. Whereas the company of bogies, sense enjoyers, and asatsanga, non-devotees, was destructive and should be rejected. Sri Krishna Nam must be chanted in satsang. So those committed to these things. Sense enjoy means one who's committed to, not one who's been distracted by. Vijaya, how many kinds of namabas are there? Raghunath Das Babaji. The Srimad Bhagavatam 6.2.14 states, one who chants Hari Nam in any manner is immediately freed from the reactions of unlimited sins. It says any manner. Notice it didn't say Shuddha Nam. Devotees like to, no, but that's only Shuddha Nam. No, it says any manner. That's the whole point. Because we're taking that sins are actually a big deal. They have weight. They have strength. They have their own life. You know, the devil, he has his own, he can do it. No, it doesn't exist. The point is sin is bad because it distracts you. And then you get a taste for it, so then that's where you're supposed to get a taste for the name, but you get a taste for material activities. That's the problem, right? Because in piety, it's in a restricted way. In sin, it's more enjoyment than what balances it. You know what I'm saying? It's just like if I burn a candle at both ends, I get more light. But the candle lasts a lot longer, shorter. You know? So that's what sin does. It's so distracting. That's the problem with it. So therefore, Hari Nam in any form frees the reactions of unlimited sins. But there's this idea, no, we have to purify. Who's this we? What's the qualification?
Is it because we're addicted to sinful activities that we think it's such a big
thing? Yeah, we're addicted to it, so it's big. Just like someone is worried about something, let's say money. So then if he goes anywhere, he looks at the money. Oh, how much something costs, how it's being spent, how is that? It's all money. But if he doesn't think about money, he'll go into a place and not even notice money. You know what I'm saying? Someone's into cleanliness, they'll notice that. You know, someone who's not won't. I remember one devotee, you know, he was a temple president and that. And the temple was, at one point I went to clean some. I saw some dirt. I went to clean it. It was so dirty. And I went and complained to him. And he says, actually, he says, I don't have the ability to notice. He says, you could put a pile of garbage in the middle of the veranda. He says, I wouldn't notice. I just walk around it. Because I'm just thinking, you know, how to, you know, collect the money, how to do this and that. He says, you know, so therefore, you know, then he says, and now I understand it's important to have somebody who's focusing on that because I can't. You know? Like that. He was honest. So, you know, so he gets somebody to do it, you know, and then the temple was clean. But up to that point, he never even thought about it because it just didn't come into his, you know, he was from a business background, business family, you know, Indian business family. And that's all they did, you know. He went to the colleges, he was top, he was super sharp and intelligent, but he could not notice dirt. It just wasn't there in the conception. Like that.
And so the Vedic culture ensures that we do all those things we don't notice.
Yeah, either we're doing or someone else is doing. That's why it says don't try to do someone else's job, because if you don't have the... It means I can have the skill, but if I don't have the mentality, it won't come out right. Right? Because I'm doing it because I want to. But no, you're supposed to be doing it because you're supposed to do it. Right? And that means... Now, the best is what you're supposed to do is what you like to do. That's good.
That'll come eventually.
Yeah. So here, one who chants Namabhas in any manner is immediately free from the reactions of unlimited sins, even if he chants Sanketa indirectly, indicating something else. You know, so that's that explains then Ajamiya. He was talking about his son, but he said Narayana. You know, or I noticed that, I mean, it used to be a big thing in America at one time, you know, you have a big thing, it's something Rama, Telerama, or this Rama, that Rama. I even see it in Europe. I like in Poland, there's these things, Rama. You know, so even they're talking about something else, it's still they get the benefit. They're freed from unlimited sin. Indicating Parihasa, jokingly, you know, Hare Krishna, yeah, you know, like that. You know, it's still there. Stoba, antagonistically. Or even Hela, disrespectfully or neglectfully. This is accepted by all the learned scholars of the scriptures. So he's not just saying, okay, you know, just this scripture is saying that. This is Bhagavatam. It's saying all the scholars. That's the point of the name. So if you give the name that position, then we know what we're dealing with. So the only way to get rid of unlimited sins is through chanting. So therefore, if there's something wrong, that means they're not chanting Shuddha Nam. So what's stopping the Shuddha Nam? Do they have the proper association, as he's saying? You know? Like that. So that's the whole point. Previously, if someone had a problem, probably just call them to be with him. Because then they have good association. You know?
There's Sadhu Sangha and Sat Sangha. And some people say, when we're talking about Sadhu Sangha, we're not talking about the rank and file, we're talking about special devotees.
So then make sure there were special devotees. Can't come to the temples not being with special devotees.
People that say that, I don't know if they think there are any sadhus in ISKCON.
That's another thing. So, but it's just like here, that, you know, chance to name any, you know, it means, oh yes, only a Shuddha Nam. I've heard that so many times. Yeah, one name, no, that's Shuddha Nam. No, it says any manner. Shuddha Nam will give you prema. Namabhas will get rid of unlimited sins. We're thinking that the sins are the big deal and prema is the small thing. No, it's Shuddha Nam will give you prema. Namabhas will get rid of all the sins. You know, it's just like that's a side thing. Because it is Krishna. We're the ones not paying attention. So it's Krishna not paying attention. If the person is sitting next to the deity, so much sin goes away. He doesn't develop love unless he recognizes the deity. Right? Does that make sense? Those persons who have insufficient knowledge about the principles of Harinam Tattva and Sambandha Gyan chant Nama Bas, of which there are four times, Shanketa, Parihasa, Stoba, and Hela. So he's now made the point is even by Nama Bas of these four, you still get rid of unlimited sins. But your progress for towards Shuddhanam will be quicker or slower depending upon the particular intensity of these.
How does this relate to the Bhagavatam verse of the still frame heart? Because that verse seems to indicate that unless your chanting is extremely pure, your heart won't melt. And if your heart doesn't melt, it means your chanting is namabhas.
But the point is unless the only way to rectify that is by chanting.
But we were saying yesterday, if you chant with the right mood to please Krishna and not for material gain, it's Shuddhanam. But then this verse of Bhagavatam sounds like it's saying, okay, that may be Shuddhanam, but not really, because your heart's not melting. So
the point is within Shuddhanam means on the platform of Bhava, that's also Shuddhanam, and on the platform of Prema, that's also Shuddhanam. So the point is that it's just like the Madhyama is Nishta, Ruchi, and Asakti. But if you look at it, technically, the one on Nishta is in the beginning stage of Madhyama. But the one with Ruchi, you would say, now this is a real solid Madhyama, because he has a taste for the name. And by that taste, then all the other material things start to disappear very dramatically. But the other one still, just having the taste, that means you're just getting the taste. But when you have attachment, now you can say, now that's serious. Right? So in the same way, Shuddhanam starts from Nishta, with the Madhyama. But it really gets actually dynamic at Ruchi. But then, Bhava, now that's serious chanting. But Prema is even more serious. And then there's Mahabhava. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, if the heart's not melting, means it still hasn't gotten, it can mature more.
Then you could say, by that definition, defining Shuddhanam, that someone could start, come to Krishna consciousness, and chant without any motive for material gain, and we call that Shuddhanam. Does that mean?
But the point is how much is he going to do that? So, since he doesn't do it much, we don't say he's on the Madhyama platform. We don't call him a Shuddha Bhakta. Because the point is we're taking it as if there's a variety of names. There's only one name. It's Krishna. It's how he reciprocates with us. Just like standing in the temple there, that's Radha and Krishna. But how do we relate to them? Right? Through the Pancharatra, through awe and reverence, through this. So how do they reciprocate with us? As Lakshmi Narayan. But it's Radha and Krishna, but they're acting as Lakshmi Narayan. So the same way as the holy name, then he reciprocates as Shuddhanam or as Namabhas. But it's still the same person. Otherwise, why is there an offense? You know, if it's a lesser form of the name, then why is there an offense? Because it's the same person. It means you could be getting prema by chanting this name, and you're thinking about, you know, something else. That's why it's an offense. So there's not different names. That's the mode of passion. Just like when we see different souls. You know, they're different. Okay, here's the Christian soul, here's the Jewish soul, here's the Muslim soul. That's mode of passion. But no, souls are all the same nature. So in the same way, the name is there. Then there's how he reciprocates with us. Right? So the Mayavadis then have even a lesser understanding. So then there's Pratibhin, it's just a reflection. It's not even the shadow of the name. He deals with it as a reflection. You're chanting with that, you know, sincerity, but other things are distracting, so it's the shadow. Then those things aren't distracting, then it's Shuddhanam. Then that matures into Bhava. That matures into Prema.
Distractions in a neophyte state. So we say control your mind, so you're not... Mm-hmm.
But control means engage.
Okay, so engage your mind. But then, on the other hand, you say, well, you actually can't until you come to a higher level of Bhava.
But if you're not making the endeavor, means why did Nanda Baba and Jashoda Mai so much appreciate you know, baby Krishna, like carrying the shoes or trying to move the pot. Or he knew those are things that are, should be done, and he's trying to do them, though he's not doing them very expertly. In fact, he can't even move the pot, right? It means we know he can move the pot, but he's not moving the pot, right? But they're so pleased. You know what I'm saying? You know, that little drawing that's, you know, stuck with the magnet on the refrigerator. You know, is that Picasso? Is that Rembrandt? Can we take it down to Sotheby's and sell it? No. But, you know, it's very dear to the mother. Why? Because it's the child attempted. Right? Like, I don't know if you've ever noticed, but a lot of times the little kids, when they draw Krishna and Radharani, the expression that they have is so much better than most adult paintings, but their skill and technique is, you know, it's not really much of a technique. but the eyes and the mood is really, 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 really good.
It's got a classification in the art world, naive art.
Naive art, yeah.
Primitive art.
Yeah. But the point is it carries the emotion. Because they're seeing, you know, it's just like that one, what's it, Saraswati? She has, you know, the deity of Jagannath with a string tied around her, you know, no cart, and she's dragging him on the floor, right? I think she was like 2 or 3 or something like that. And so then devotees come to Prabhupada, well, this, that, it's just, no, but she sees Rathayatra. To her, there's a whole Rath and the whole thing and the festival, and so, you know, Jagannath's happy. So it's not an offense, but that doesn't mean you let it go on. Now you tell her, no, you have to put him in something, but then you arrange it. Prabhupada's father arranged the cart for him. Right? Then, you know, they don't mind pulling the cart. They just know that, you know, hey, this is what you do. The adults are pulling Jagannath down the road. That's all they see. Jagannath's being pulled down the road. They don't really catch all the mechanics of everything else, right? There's a rope, there's Jagannath. So he tied the rope around Jagannath and Hari Paul, you know, Rathayatra Zan. You know what I'm saying? So the thing is that element of that attempt, that is what is pleasing. Because what can we do? Krishna's the ability in man anyway. Right? The laws of nature are his. We follow them, it works. But even we can't follow them. We can desire to follow them. Then Paramatma sanctions, then Maya through the modes of nature makes it happen. So there is only the attempt. There isn't anything else.
You were saying we shouldn't attempt to chant for purity, we should attempt to chant for taste.
Taste for please Krishna. Because the point is, why be pure if you're not pleasing Krishna? That's the point.
But taste can be confusing because we're so ingrained in enjoyment.
Yeah, but then spiritual enjoyment. At least if that's the only thing, but then spiritually, that's why it mentions that the enjoyment will be unlimitedly more. So at least, if nothing else, that'll attract you. You know? Hey, this is good, but that's so much better, you know? You know? You know, so it's like that. Okay, mention.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki.
Jai.
Jai Nitai Gaur. Next one is Rasa Tattva. But at this rate, so that'll take how far do we get? Doing one page a day.
I mean, yeah, well, I mean, before it was going quite quick. Just the last couple of days, it's been not so quick. I think also Pandana says he's gotten better at compressing the chapters.
Oh, okay.
I think it's fine.
Yeah, no, it's good.